Blog Talk Radio.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can, come on, let him know. I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can use me. I give myself away. What would happen if a generation embraced it? Come on, tell me.
Here I am. Here I am.
Your name. You are worthy, O God. You are worthy to be praised, Lord. We thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing and being glad in it. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your power. We thank you, Lord, for your presence on this Blog Talk Radio broadcast, O God. Even as we have gathered together as women, as your daughters, and even as your sons, O God, we just ask that your presence will be with us, Lord. Lord, we give ourselves away. Lord, we're facing some stuff on today. Some of the women who are assembled, some of the women who are coming, who will listen to the archives, some of the people who will listen are going through some things on today, God. But, Lord, we give ourselves away. We focus not on things external, but on things eternal, oh God. We focus on you, oh Lord, and the promises that you have made over our lives. And even more than that, we focus on you for who you are, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our peace, Jehovah Nisi, Lord, our banner, Jehovah, Rapha, the Lord, our healer. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We magnify your name. We praise you on today. We glorify you on today. And we say, have your way during these next couple of hours, Lord, even as the women come, as the people come, as we congregate, as we pray, God, as we gather. We say, have your way. Heal marriages. Lord, touch our children. Bless our children on today, God. So many of our children, Lord, have gone astray, God, and we just call on your word, which says that if we bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, the way that they should go, that they will not depart from that way, O God. So, Lord, we pull our children back. We call our children back to you, O God. We call our children back to church. We call our children back to holiness, O God, in the name of Jesus. We snatch our children from the pit of hell. We say, Satan, take your hands off of our kids in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We give you our marriages, O God, and we say, bless our marriages, oh God. Bless our husbands, oh God. And for the men who are listening, Lord, bless the wives, oh God. Lord, we just thank you for your word, which says a threefold cord is not easily broken, oh God. Lord, even as we draw near to you, oh God, we just give our husbands to you on today. We give our spouses to you on today, God, and say, touch our spouses, heal our spouses, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, touch our money. We give you our finances, oh God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are no respecter of persons. And we thank you, Lord, that you are not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man, that you would repent and change your mind about what you have said about us. So Lord, touch our monies, oh God. We thank you for increase in our finances, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for opening up the windows of heaven and pouring us out a blessing so much that we can't even receive it. So, Lord, for every person under the sound of my voice, thank you for financial blessings, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for witty inventions. Thank you for brilliant ideas, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for book sales and for CD sales. Thank you, Lord, for promotion on the job and for the application going to the top of the stack. Thank you, Lord, for doors of opportunity for employment being opened up, oh God. And thank you for businesses flourishing, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, because we know that all things are possible with Christ. So, Lord, we worship you, and we give ourselves to you, oh God, and say, have your way in our lives, have your way with our children, in our ministries, with our finances, in our businesses, on the job, have your way in our marriages, oh God. We give ourselves to you on today, God, even as we go forward with this broadcast, we give ourselves to you and say, have your way. Let your will be done. Touch every woman, touch Gazelle in the chat room, touch every guest in the chat room, touch every guest on the phone lines, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Touch everybody who's listening via archive, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we give ourselves to you today and say, have your way. Let your will be done. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen and praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good. Welcome to Woman to Woman. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons coming to you live, and I tell you, that song is just so on my heart today. I give myself away, amen. I give myself away. If that's your prayer today, if that's your cry today, just go ahead and praise God. Praise Him right where you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him how much how grateful you are. Lord, we love you, and we're grateful to you. I love you, Lord, and I bless your name. Tell him to have his way. Lord, have your way. Have your way in my life. Have your way in my life, God, in the name of Jesus. I tell you, God is good, and he truly is worthy to be praised. My God, hallelujah. I just had a praise on my lips on today. God is just blessing me always and in all ways, and I am so grateful to be here on today. I thank you all for tuning in, for those in the chat room and those who are listening live, for those who are on the phone lines and those on the archives. I thank you for tuning in to Woman, the most widely listened to radio show on Blog Talk Radio, one of the most widely listened to radio shows on Blog Talk Radio, because this is a show where you can have a voice, where you can talk about your faith, where you can talk about finances, your children, your marriages, your ministry, your money, whatever it is that's on your heart. I'll be opening the phone line shortly so that you can begin to call in and talk to me about what's going on with you. At the 1:30 hour, we have our marriage moments with the Pastor Anthony Simmons, my wonderful, wonderful, wonderful husband. And I can tell you it was not always wonderful, but the Bible tells us that we can call those things that are not as God did. We can call those things that are not as though they were. Amen. We can take our Bibles and use them to our benefit. You know, a lot of people will say, well, what are you saying? You can, that we can use the Word of God to our benefit? Absolutely, because that's what God did. When he left us the Word, he left us the Word as our blueprint for life, as our principles for success, as our guide, you know, as the light, the lamp unto our feet. We have to realize that in the Bible, in these 66 books, we have everything that we need to be successful in life. Amen. You should not be failing in life if you are applying the Word of God to your life. Now, I'm not saying if you know the Word. I'm saying if you apply the Word, because we know that information without application is meaningless. It has no meaning. It has no power. Amen. Because James tells us that faith without works is dead. Amen. We can say we believe all day long, but if we don't do anything, then that faith is dormant. It's just laying dormant. And it's only when you begin to move out in faith, when you begin to do something, that your faith can be activated, and now you can get the results that you want to get or the results that you need to get from God. Amen. When we truly give ourselves over to believing the Word, not just hearing the Word, but doing the Word, applying the Word, then we can have the results that God had planned for us. When he told us in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, he said, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Or if you're looking at King James, some people love the King James Version. They won't read any other version of the Bible. But when you look at the King James Version, he tells us that he has plans. He knows the thoughts that he thinks towards us, thoughts of peace and not of evil, thoughts to bring you to an expected end. Amen. So as I was praying, as I was meditating on what to bring today, I want one thing. We're going to open up the phone lines because I want to hear what's going on with you and what you're experiencing and what's on your heart. And the second thing that God wanted me to share with you was three scriptures. He gave me three things that he wanted me to share with you. So I'm going to be obedient and share those three scriptures. The first one comes from 3 John 2. And we all know this. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible because that's what the Lord impressed upon my heart, impressed upon my spirit to read 3 John 2 from the Amplified Bible. Amen. So 3 John 2 from the Amplified Bible reads, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers." So God is speaking to you there. The Lord told me to bring that word to you specifically. And again, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers." And what the Lord is saying to you today, what he had wanted me to say to you with that scripture, is that he has total prosperity in mind for you. God wants you to know today that he has total prosperity in mind for you. Listen, don't look at your circumstances and what's going on today. I don't want your mind to go over to your bank account. And if your mind does go to your bank account, I want you to see it as being prosperous. I want you to see your bank account as being one that's full, one that has more than enough money to take care of every single need that you have and enough for you to sow into the lives of others. Amen. When you look at it through the eyes of God, because this is spiritual, spiritual. We have our natural eye. We have our physical eyes where we can see. Some of us have 20/20. Some of us have minus 15, minus 10. I know I had minus 15 and minus 17 in my natural vision before I got cataracts. Two years ago, I was stricken with cataracts in both eyes, and those cataracts were removed, and I had lenses implanted in my eyes, but now I have 20/20 vision. Amen. So what God is saying to us today is not to look at what we're seeing in the natural, but he wants us to look at the word, and he's speaking to you through the word today to say that your circumstances, although they may look less than what God has said, although your circumstances may look like less than what God has said, God is saying that he still has a great plan for you. Amen. And his plan is total prosperity. But mind you, take a look at this scripture. It says in the scripture that he wants you to prosper in every way, not just money, but as I was praying earlier, in your ministry, in your marriage, in your finances, in your parenting, in your business, in your occupation. God wants you to prosper in your health in every single way. He says, even as you keep well in your body, even as your body and your soul keep well, which means that God wants you to prosper and be well in your emotions. Amen. So many of us as women have had broken hearts and broken dreams. We've had broken marriages and broken relationships. Amen. And God is saying that he wants to restore our hearts. He wants to heal our hearts, restore our dreams. He wants to give us a marriage made in heaven, and he wants to restore our relationships. Amen. So God is speaking to us on today, and I'm going to open the phone lines. I want to share another scripture that the Lord gave me today to share with you, and that's from the book of Romans. He told me to share Romans 8:28, and again, I'm going to the Amplified Bible because I believe that God wants us to really, really look at this in more depth than just what we read in our King James or our NIV. Romans 8:28, and it says, we are assured and we know God being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. My God, God is speaking, the Lord is speaking, and he's saying to you again, I want to reiterate that no matter what you're going through, whatever it is, it might be a layoff, it might be a relationship that just broke up, it might be problems in your ministry, problems in the church, problems with your finances, problems with your children, whatever you're going through right now, Romans 8:28 in the Amplified Version says, we are assured and know that God being a partner in our labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. And now I'm going to tell you that God has a plan and he has a purpose. I already told you what this third scripture is, Jeremiah 29. And this is what God spoke to me to bring to you today. So I'm being obedient. Obedience brings the overflow. The obedience, your obedience to God brings his overflow of blessings into your life. Amen. When you obey God, then that releases the blessings that God has for you. Obedience. I want to caution you to not just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. Because when you obey God, then God moves out on your behalf. When you move out on faith, God moves and he meets you right where you are, and he releases the supernatural, exponential blessings that he has in store for you. So I'm coming to you prophetically, dropping these words, and then I'm going to open the phone lines, dropping what God has for me to drop into your spirit. I want to drop this into your spirit today. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11. Again, I'm reading from the Amplified by Obedience. There's somebody out there that needs to hear this on today. I'm reading from the Amplified by way of obedience. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome." My God, my God. That is powerful. Listen, put all three of those together. 3 John 2, Romans 8:28, and Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome." Listen, that's a reason to praise God right there, amen, because the outcome is good, and God is saying right there, you're going to prosper in everything that you do, even as your soul, as your body is well, as you have good health, and as your soul prospers. He says, and no matter what you're going through right now, no matter what it looks like, know that all things work together for the good, that he is already, according to his plan, he's already working things out for your good, and Jeremiah 29:11, which says that the total outcome is going to be good. My God, is going to be awesome. Amen. The total outcome is going to blow your mind, to give you hope in your final outcome. Amen. So praise God. I just want to, again, drop that into your spirit on today, and I pray that you grab that word. Write it down. Write it down. Go back to the archives after the show and listen again and write it down, those three scriptures. Go to your own Amplified Bible. Go to the internet. Read it and get it in your spirit, because God is speaking. Amen. Amen. And praise God. Well, we're going to open the phone lines just before our marriage moments. Amen. With Pastor Anthony Simmons. Area code 312, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca.
God bless you, Erica. How are you today?
I am wonderful. How are you?
Amen. Just so blessed and full. I don't know if you heard the opening song, but I opened up the broadcast with "I Give Myself Away."
Okay.
And that's my prayer today. You know, I just give myself away. It's not about me, but it's about what God has for me to do and what he wants to do through me.
Yes. And that's important.
Amen.
That song is a wonderful song, and that's actually one of my favorite songs that really ministers to my heart, because that's what I want. That's what I want to do, and that's my prayer to him, you know, is to totally give myself to him, mind, body, everything. Everything that God wants is what I want to give to him, to do his will, to do what he would have me to do. Because it's not about us. It's not about us, and it's all about him. It's all about the kingdom and what God desires and designed for our lives, to walk in victory, to walk in his will, to carry out those things that he has called us to. And that's what we have to do. We have to totally give ourselves away to him so that he can do what it is that he needs to do in our lives.
Amen. Amen. That is just so true. You know, as I was thinking about doing the show today, you know, Erica, as I was preparing to come, I was like, "Well, Lord, what is it that would be on the hearts of women today? You know, how do we tap into really the need in the body pertaining to the sisters, you know, and even the brothers, because we have a lot of men who listen to the broadcast. And, you know, as you look at the news, you see a lot of stuff going on here in New Jersey. Pastor Anthony shared with me a story, and then I saw it on the news yesterday about this lady who had a domestic dispute. She had an argument with her, her boyfriend, the baby's father. But she had four kids, Erica, 10 and under, and she put them in the car and drove into the Hudson River over in New York. And one of the boys, the 10-year-old, got out. But the lady, the woman, and she was a beautiful woman, beautiful sister.
Yes, she was.
Yeah, but her and three of the babies died. And, you know, I mean, so what is it that, you know, you would think that would make somebody even do something like that? You know, that's what came across my mind. I was like, what drove her? You know, and how can we not just talk about the problem, but how can we be a solution? How can we bring forth a solution to the problem?
Wow. At one place in my life, I was at a place where I was lost and I attempted several times to commit suicide. And on that, in that place in my life, I was empty, and I really had no direction of what to do. I was hopeless. I didn't have any esteem. I didn't have anyone to go to or look to. I didn't really have anyone that I can trust. And at that place, the enemy told me that there's nobody here for you. Everybody hates you. Nobody cares about you. Nobody is concerned. You know, your family don't like you. You have no friends. And it's like he kept trying to drive all these things into my mind of how I was not loved and how people treated me. And I know how people treated me on the outside because I was treated very badly. I didn't have too many people that I could talk to. I didn't know what to do. And I thought that it would be easier to just eliminate myself because nobody would miss me anyway.
Wow.
And I think sometimes that we get so caught up in life and the things that goes on around us, the pressure is so much to endure, that when you don't have God, when you are not grounded in the Word, when you are not, when you don't know who to go to, and you look and you see no hope nowhere around you, that to you, that is the easy way out. And it's a selfish way because we don't think about the people that are affected by the decisions that we make. And we don't think about the people in our lives who really does care about us. And everything may not go the way that we think it ought to. Everybody may not respond to us the way we think they should. Everybody may not show their love the same way. But we can't allow the enemy to talk us into taking ourselves out from here. Because that's another promise that's gone. That's another promise that has not been fulfilled. That's another promise that God has placed here for his purpose that is now laying in the grave. And when you look at the graveyard, there are so many promises and so many stories and so many books and stuff that's written, so many things that God has placed for himself that will never be heard, that will never be shared. And we have to get to the place where God has become center of everything. Because if you look at everyday life, it looks hopeless. But there is hope in God. There is peace in God. And I know that God can change your mind. I know that God can keep you because he kept me. I'm still sitting here today. And I attempted several times to commit suicide. But God grabbed on to me and he told me, hey, I love you. I love you. I'm here for you. I have been here for you all the time. I've been providing for you even when you couldn't see it. I have carried you when you didn't see no way. I'm here. And he gave me peace in my life, and he began to show me things differently. And when you begin to just give yourself to God and commit yourself to him, he begins to transform your mind. He begins to show you how valuable you are to you. And I believe that that is very important. It's very important, very, 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 very important to get to know God. Because a lot of the things that we go through, when you don't know how to deal with things, God can help you, and he can continue to show you. But he said, I am a very present help in the time of need. And he said, before you call on me, I've already answered. And if he's already answered before you called, I mean, how great is God? to answer you before you call. How great is that? And so
Amen. I mean, I hear you, and that's just so powerful. And I thank God, not even remembering that you had already been through that, and that, you know, so what better person to answer my question? You know, like, what would bring a person to that point where they would think that they want to give up? And you answered it that, you know, you're against the devil. And that's what I said to Pastor Anthony, that the enemy of your soul, he who comes to steal, kill, and destroy anyway, and who is seeking whom he can devour anyway, was looking for somebody that he can kill the promise in. He's looking to kill the promise in your life anyway. He comes at you, and when we don't have a relationship with God that's secure and intact, then the devil has a loophole. He's able to get his toe in there. He has a toehold. Then he's able to get in and begin to speak his lies into your mind. So I just want to encourage the women out there, and even the men out there, a young lady or a young man, or, you know, even an older person, that, you know, don't give up hope. Like the Lord had me share those scriptures earlier for you, you know, who may be feeling a little bit discouraged and may be having a hard time. Don't give up hope. You know, continue to hope in the expected end, in the final outcome, because God already has a plan for you, amen, and the plan is good. So just don't give up hope. And we're going to pick this up again. I believe that the Lord is going to speak more. I want to pray, Erica, I'm going to have you pray for women who are having a hard time, for people who are having a hard time after the marriage moment. We're going to go into the marriage moments right now with Pastor Anthony, and then we're going to take some more calls after the marriage moment. We do have some more callers on the board. And I want to encourage you to call in 646-652-4832. And even if you want to speak with Pastor Anthony regarding what he's going to share about the marriage moments, or if you want to say something about what Erica has said, right after Pastor Anthony speaks, we're going to open up the phone lines again so that we can begin to talk some more about what's on your heart, what's going on in the world today, and how that affects us as women of God and as men of God, even here on Woman to Woman. We talk to men also, because men are a big part of our lives as women. Amen. So,
amen.
Pastor Anthony, we welcome you to Woman to Woman. God bless you, honey, and welcome to the show.
Amen. Praise God. To God be the glory.
Yes, to God be the glory. I know you were listening for a little while, and even at the time for our marriage moment, you know, I want you to just go ahead and share with us whatever's on your heart, you know, for the next 10 minutes as we go into the marriage moments as the Lord leads. And then we're going to open up the phone line some more and just talk to some more of the women and even some of the men out there who are listening.
Amen. It's amazing because it sort of ties into the story you just shared, what happened in this area. But Ephesians, I just want to talk to you a moment. Ephesians 4:26, it begins in the NIV version saying, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Who has been stealing must steal no more. A word doing something useful with his hands, that he may have something to share with those in need." It goes on to say, "Do not let any unwholesome thought come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Finally, it says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Then this is powerful. "Kind and compassionate one to another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you." And the reason that was in my spirit, we were out last night and you and I were sharing some things, but we were a little reminiscing over some of the things that we've come through in our marriage. And we talked about at your last sitting how we had a disagreement right in front of the boutique and how on our honeymoon we had our argument while we were intoxicated, if you will. Then there's been times over our marriage where we've had disagreements or the ability to disagree over the children, finances, and things that happen in marriage. But the Bible clearly says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. And this is one of the things that ministered to me in my in our marriage, because I came into the marriage with issues. And one of the issues was my temper and my anger. But God led me to the scripture that would minister to me directly, be slow to wrath, be slow to speak, and try to be quick to listen. And I just want to say that to some of the couples today, that Pastor Rebecca and those listening, we got to be slow to anger. And let's not run into hate to get angry at one another. Because the Bible clearly states that when we let the anger get the best of us, the devil gets a foothold into our marriage. My God. And it's up to us to not allow the devil to get place in our marriage. I remember talking to a couple, and this young lady said that her husband didn't speak to her for weeks. And this man of God was a pastor. I just could not even fathom how somebody can be that stubborn or prideful to not speak to their spouse for weeks over whatever it may be. And one thing you and I, Pastor Rebecca, tried to do is try to resolve conflict. And a lot of couples allow conflict to get the best of them. Sometimes we want to, you know, have a good time in our marriages, but because the devil allows our pride or stubbornness to be stirred up, we can't really break down and be with the ones we love in the way we want to be with them. And that's why this scripture is so potent, because if we get a hold of this thing called anger and not be there against one another, learn how to solve conflict. Learn how to be compassionate with one another, guarding our tongue and guarding our words that we say to each other. The scripture clearly says here that we are called to build each other up. And sometimes, you know, you and I, as we teach marriage counselors and couples, we always say, never use these words, never, or you always, or you never, because we need to deal with the situation at hand and not hold things in the past to the ones that we're trying to be with, resolve issues with, meaning our spouses. So marriage is so powerful, but I believe in our day and age that one thing that adds to this 50% divorce rate is this thing called anger and the fact that we don't know how to resolve it or control our tempers, and then stubbornness and pride settles in and it gets the best of us. And sometimes, Pastor Rebecca, we're mad for months, even years, over something that could have been resolved.
Wow. Wow. Wow, that's powerful there.
You said the scripture is the answer to everything. This woman who you shared about who committed suicide, the story read that she had an argument with the father of the two-year-old daughter. A two-year-old child, I don't know if it was a boy or girl, but she just had an argument with that young man who's the father of that one child, and then that incident took place. So it looked, as the story reads, it looked like her anger fueled some of what happened after that argument of that incident. And we can't allow that spirit to come into our marriages.
Wow. Amen. And yeah, you know, Pastor Emily, thank you so much for that powerful insight into marriage. And when we think about it, it can be applied to different areas of our lives, even our relationships with each other. We were talking last week, and Prophetess Priscilla called in on last week and talked about the spirit of offense, which is another thing that's fueled by anger. I get angry and now I'm offended. You know, I get offended and now I'm angry. I get offended and now I'm angry. So anger is fueled by offense. you know, when we get offended. But when we get offended, we're supposed to what? We're supposed to forgive. Now, even before we go to that person and talk to them, the person about what they've done, we're called to release that offense. We're supposed to forgive as Jesus has forgiven us. And sometimes, like you said, now pride comes in. Now here comes old pride. And these are all tactics of the devil. These are all tactics of the enemy that even in my marriage, in my relationships with other people, on the job, you know, some of us can't even submit to our bosses or our superiors on the job because we're puffed up with pride and we're arrogant and we're, you know, we're stiff-necked and we're rebellious and we don't want to listen. But if we want to have success, and I read the scripture earlier from 3 John 2 that we're supposed to have total prosperity. If we want to have total prosperity, we need to humble ourselves and we have to submit. Now, this woman, back to the woman who committed suicide and murder, this anger that you said that she had, Pastor Anthony, and I'm almost certain that we will all agree that she was angry. But this anger, I would like to offer, did not start with that argument with her baby daddy. This anger, I would like to say, as I write about in my book, The Cry of a Woman's Heart, Healing the Pain of the Past, Traveling the Road to Victorious Living, this anger was a deep-seated anger. This was anger on top of unresolved anger. So what I'm thinking is this woman had issues, and not me, I'm not a psychologist, but I'm thinking that she probably had some issues that were so deep-seated that this was the final straw. This was, as we want to say, the straw that broke the camel's back or the story that ended in ultimate destruction. So we have to, Pastor Emily, thank you so much for bringing up that scripture. In your anger, do not sin and do not let the sun go down on your wrath. I mean, powerful. Thank you so much, Pastor Emily, for those words.
Amen. And, you know, we can really turn...
Pastor Amney, stay with me. And I see your hand raised. You can begin to call in because we are going to start taking calls again. I see your hand raised. Go ahead, Pastor Anthony.
No, I just agree that, you know, a lot of marriages, and if this is you, as you said, we need to forgive each other in our marriages. Allow the spirit of offense, even when we slip up. I made a lot of slip ups over the years, but you had the grace to forgive me and vice versa. And sometimes your wife or your husband do err, or we do make mistakes along the way. But the person that you fell in love with is still that person that you're trying to make a life and home with. So allow the Spirit of God to give you grace to forgive each other and move on so your marriage can be a ministry to not just yourself but to others.
Wow. Amen. Amen. Words of wisdom, you know, especially to your marriage. Listen, don't sleep on the couch. Don't send him to another. I'll put a pillow between you. Resolve that issue. Don't go to sleep and you're in the middle of an argument. Amen. Because you don't know what could happen while you're sleeping. Somebody crazy could want to do something crazy. So just work it out. You know, work that thing, work the word, and work it out. Amen. Pastor Anthony, stay with me. This person that has their hand raised may want to say something or ask you a question. Stay with me for a little while. Area code 708, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
God bless you, my friend. How are you?
God bless you, Pastor Larry. Welcome to the broadcast on today.
Amen. God bless you. Good to be here. I want to say hello to my brother, Pastor Anthony. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Pastor Larry. How are you?
Oh, man. God is good to me, man. That's all I can say. God is good to me.
Amen, my brother.
As I was listening to your topic here, something struck in my spirit, bore witness to my spirit. As you all were talking to the about the young lady who committed suicide and killed her children. Now, I believe with all my heart that not only did this woman have anger, but let's look at this from a total perspective. Not only did she have hidden anger, but there was unforgiveness, there was bitterness, and there was a sense of no self-worth or no value. Now, I heard you say that she had three children, but she had the one child by the one man. Now, let the backtrack in her life from what we know. It is very possible, then, that she had a man or a child by three different daddies. I'm not sure she did, but at least two.
And she had four children, sir. She had four children.
My question then would be is, how many baby daddies did she have? The thing is, my question is this, is if all these men rejected her and devalued her, at some point she got to the place where she couldn't take it.
Yeah.
And I believe this with all my heart, that if you begin to buy in to what people are saying about you, you become what they say. And if she was getting her worth from them and not her worth from who she knew that she was, because, I mean, for a person to kill themselves, no one can love you more than you love yourself. And to kill yourself simply says, I don't value myself enough to stay alive. But to kill my children as well, that to me, volumes that someplace this girl did not see a reason to live. And if I've been buying into the persona that I'm trash, I'm dirt, I'm no good, nobody loves me, and if I've gone from man to man, and every man has told me this, especially when I get everything that I am, but they can't see my value. And I'm basing my value on what they say. You already messed up. You messed up.
Yeah.
And so, of course, there were some unresolved issues that were going on in her life. And this is why here at our ministry, I tell our young girls, before you jump into another relationship, make sure that there has been a total healing from the one you came out of. Because if not, you're going to bring somebody, a man into a relationship with your other relationships. And so he thinks it's just him, but the truth is, when you're arguing at him, you're really arguing at Frank or Fred or Johnny or Michael, and it's really not toward him, but because you have not gotten over those people yet, instead of having one man, now it's six men to you, you see?
Yeah.
And the issues are not dealt with properly. This is why I don't encourage folks to just go listen to another one. Because if you do, you will mess up your life and someone else's life. Because in every relationship, there is a part of the person that stays with you. I don't care how long it's been since you woke up. There is a part of that person that stays with you. And if there's not a healing in that area, you take out your frustration on someone else who didn't deserve it. You see? And I believe in my heart that this is where this young lady was at, that she didn't see any value or self-worth in herself. And it caused her to do harm and damage, not to her, just to herself, but to anybody else, you know, and her family. And I was glad that this one young boy, I believe it was the 10-year-old, who actually got out of the car, you know.
Yeah.
And that was a blessing. But the problem is now that this kid who lived will be scarred for life.
Yeah.
You know, he'll be scarred for life. And now, the one thing, Pastor, you said that really blessed my spirit, too, is that the Bible says that all things work together for good. Now, right now, we don't really understand how it's going to work out for this young boy's good. But maybe somewhere along 8, 10, 20 years down the road, God had to have a plan for this boy's life, because in reality, a 10-year-old does not think to do that.
Yeah.
In reality, a 10-year-old does not think to let the window down. But God has a plan for his life. And I believe with all my heart that God, the Holy Spirit of God, told that boy instantly to let the window down so he can get out of there so that the plan of God can be fulfilled in his life. Now, he won't see it right now. And I just pray that I'm alive down the road to hear about it, when this will become something important to somebody somewhere.
Amen. You know, it reminds me, Pastor Larry, of Moses, you know, when Pharaoh said, kill all of the little boys. You know, none of these babies would die, but Moses' mother put them in the basket and put them in the river to the fact where Pharaoh's daughter actually took the basket out with the baby and out of the river and raised the baby. Now, although Moses had to be separated from his parents and a lot of his cousins and siblings and his people died at that time, and he had to be raised up in a strange home to later realize that he was really not Pharaoh's kid. God used that, you know, for his glory. And just like the brother called in last week, Richard called in and said, well, did God know that Adam and Eve could not obey him? And if he did, in fact, know that they could not obey him, then it was a setup. God set them up. And my answer to him was, well, God can do what he wants to do because he's God. And what we have to realize is that we are all of us are here for God's purpose. See, that's we may have our desires and our wants and, you know, our needs, and we may even get to the point where we think it's about us. But the reality of the fact is that it's not about us. It's about God and his ultimate plan. And he already has the final outcome in mind for each and every one of us. Now, will we be blessed in this life? Yes. And will we have opportunities to have happy marriages and to, you know, have some of the desires of our hearts? Absolutely. But we're to go through some stuff. You're going to go through. Woman of God, man of God, you're going to go through. And guess what? When you have the proper perspective, when you realize that it's all working out for God's glory, for the good, for your good and his glory, then you will be able to better handle some of the stuff that will come across your life, you know, will come up in your life. And another thing, when I think about it, and I'm going to let you say something else, Pastor Larry, and take some more calls. But what we have to realize also is that this woman had a great sense of hopelessness. And even as you were speaking, Pastor Larry, and as I listened to Erica and I listened to my wonderful husband, what I realized is that there was I. My God, but by the grace of God, he pulled me right up out of that thing. Like Erica can relate, and I can relate, and so many other people that are listening right now can probably relate. How many of us can say that we have been at a place in our lives where we felt hopeless? My God, but God stepped in right at the nick of time, and he showed us the light at the end of the tunnel. I thank God for Jesus, the light at the end of the tunnel, that God sent help for me right in the nick of time, because I could have been dead. I should have been dead, buried in my grave, and my heart goes out. I mean, this woman's gone now. You know, my heart goes out, you know, yet to her memory, yet to her. And the fact that there was not somebody that could step in the nick of time and just give her some hope that she did not have, you know, and just try to reverse this curse of death that was over her head, you know, that she couldn't still be here, amen. So it's sad for me when I hear about sisters who give up. And I just want to encourage you, sisters, don't give up. Don't quit. You know, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how hard it is, no matter how bad it feels, don't give up. There's still yet hope. There's still yet light at the end of the tunnel. There's still joy in the morning. The Bible says that weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. There's still hope. Listen, don't put all of your hope, all of your trust, all of your faith, your whole life in no man. You know, not to disrespect the men who are listening, but don't put everything in the man. No man deserves your life. No man deserves your whole life wrapped up in him. No job, no money, no situation, no circumstance deserves for you to put your whole life at stake to say, I don't want to live because this isn't going right. It could be your husband. It could be your kids. Forget about them and put your mind on your future. Put your mind on what God has said he has planned for you. Put your mind on Jesus. You know, keep your mind stayed on Jesus, because that will keep you reminded of the word that's over your life, that God has a final outcome for you, and it is a good one. Amen. So don't give up. Hold on. Hold on. Press your way to church. Get to a word church. Get somewhere. Look, don't stay away from church. Go to church. Amen. Get yourself to a place where you can get some help, where you can feel some hope. Amen. Where you can get a twinge of joy. Because if you can get a little bit of joy, then the hope can come in. And if the hope can come in, then you can believe again. And if you can believe again, you can live again. Amen. So I just want to encourage you today. Somebody needed that today, Pastor Larry, Pastor Anthony, Erica. Somebody needed that today. Amen.
Amen, Pastor.
Amen.
That is so true.
Amen. Pastor Larry, what else do you have for us today, sir?
The more you talk, the more you inspire me. I was listening. And one of the things I was going to give a suggestion to our young ladies is that one of the things they ought to do is get in the mirror and ask yourself a simple question. Who am I? Ask yourself, who are you? Because until you don't see yourself as being important or valuable, then no one else can see you for more than what you see you to be. And so then get in the mirror and ask themselves, how do I see myself? Because until you see yourself as a queen or a princess, you always try to find affirmation from other people and base what they say about you, and you'll take what they say. Because I understand this, if folks build you up, they tear you down. And so you have to know your own value. Who are you? How do you see you? Here, I often tell the story. When I was around 19 years old, I guess about 18, 19 years old, I used to be a model. And there was a big bullet that I really did, want to be. And she said that you are ugly. And that shook me. That shook my whole world. Now, mind you, I was modeling, I was making money for how I looked. And this girl told me that I was ugly because I didn't want to talk to her. And I'm telling you, that shook my whole psyche because I was not accustomed to being told that I was an ugly person. And I allowed what someone else said, and that took a season in my life to devalue who I thought I was. And I believe that this is what a whole lot of folks are doing, is how they on what someone else said. And you get over that and get past that what someone else says about you. Understand and know who you are. Now, the one thing you said Brother Richard, who said that God set them up. The Bible says this, that Jesus had already made a decision before the foundation of the world to give his life. Because the Bible says that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And so Jesus had already made a decision that I'm going to give my life. And so God made them, yes, he did. But God already knew before he made them that they wouldn't go obey him fully. And so he made provisions even before they messed up. And that's one of the good things about God, that God knows everything. He's omniscient. And so he knows everything. And so he makes provisions even for our mess ups. God orchestrates everything. I had one person asking me, he says, why do you say that God makes provisions even in our mess up? And I always go to Jonah. That Jonah was a preacher, and God knew he was going to disobey him. But the Bible says that God prepared a fish. Now, you don't find fish in the sea ready to eat a man and not consume him. But this well, Jesus called a well, God prepared this well to consume Jonah and to preserve him and to keep him until he got his mind made to obey God. And so even in our mess up, God orchestrates that for our good. And so anyway, I'm done. And I'm enjoying the show, and you all mute me out, and I'll be listening in for as long as I can.
Amen, Pastor Larry. Pastor Emily and I were talking about you last week, and we said, that man, he keeps a sermon in his belly. I'll tell you, you got that word. you just inspire us so much, and we just thank God for you, Pastor Larry. Thank you so much for being with us on today and just for sharing your wisdom and your insight according to the Holy Spirit.
God bless you, Pastor. Thank you so much.
Amen. God bless you. Wow. And now, Pastor Larry, how do you get on the, raise your hand? Do you push one or two?
You press one.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. Well, for the callers who are on the switchboard, the phone lines are open. If you want to be on the air, just push one to raise your hand, and I'll put you on the air. Amen. Because we want to hear from you. We've been talking about, I shared some scriptures earlier in the broadcast. We've had our marriage moments. And we've also been talking about the young lady who took the life of herself and three of her children, and one of her boys got out of the car. And we were just looking at some of the reasons why she got to the point where she just wanted to give up and how we can avoid that in our personal walks. The scripture given today was 3 John 2, Romans 8, 28, and also Jeremiah 29, 11, read from the Amplified Version. The marriage moments came from the book of Ephesians. Pastor Anthony spoke on forgiveness, not really forgiveness, but not sinning in your anger and not letting the sun go down on your wrath. Amen. We have someone in the chat room, Pastor Anthony, and I just want you to pray. Dana Neal is in the chat room, and she was just expressing some concerns. She has an anniversary coming up, honey, on the 19th, and she was just talking about, you know, her husband and her and how the devil is busy in their marriage. Can you pray for Dana and her husband, please, Pastor Anthony?
Yes, amen. Father, in your son Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Even
thank
for the institution of marriage, Lord. We pray for Dana and her husband right now, Father God, that household that you have blessed in the name of Jesus. Father God, no weapon formed against them shall prosper. You said with two or more gathered, you be in the midst. So right now, Father God, we know that you are right there, even in the midst of things working together for their good. So right now, Lord, we thank you, hallelujah, that they got victory in the name of Jesus. We thank you, hallelujah, that, Father God, they will have a wonderful anniversary in the name of Jesus. And, Father God, we thank you for conflict resolution, every situation being resolved in the matchless name of Jesus. Now, Lord, as we put the holy, Father God, covenant under the blood of Jesus, we
thank
the blood over every unresolved situation, every ounce of tension or stress, every spirit of anxiety that tries to come in, every, Father God, wagging tongue or every naysayer in the name of Jesus, we come against it in the name of Jesus. So, Father God, we thank you for victory in every area. We thank you that you're stirring up even the fires of love for one another that they have, Lord. We thank you in the name of Jesus that the love is being rekindled, that the camaraderie and the chemistry, the communication, the intimacy, every aspect of their marriage working right now, we declare it and decree it in the name of Jesus. So, Father God, I thank you for victory as they have it in every area of their life, and their marriage will bring their name glory, and we will honor their marriage in the name of Jesus. So, Father God, I thank you that they already have the victory. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Amen. Hey, hallelujah. Dana is in the chat room praising the Lord. She is praising the Lord, and I touch and agree with that prayer. Pastor Emily, you did not even know what they were going through, but you prayed specifically for their situation. And I just thank God for the Spirit of the Lord that abides in you, honey, that you pray targeted every single area in that marriage that they're dealing with. So I thank you so much for just yielding to the Holy Ghost. Amen. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Anybody thank God for the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, Dana, everything's going to be all right, daughter. You just keep on pressing forward in the Lord. And she said she knows everything's going to be all right. They've been to counseling, but the Lord is working it out. She said this one's for God. She said, this one is on God. And she said, he's worked it out. As long as they do what they're supposed to do, God is certainly going to do his part. And that's right, because we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. And when we believe the word, then God can work everything else out. I thank God that we added the marriage moments, because guess what? We are married. A lot of us are married, Christian women. And this is really, we're snatching some marriages out of divorce court. So I just thank God for you, honey, and you coming every week with your words of wisdom.
Amen. God bless you. And I'll listen to the rest of it.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the phone lines are open. We've had the first hour has been wonderful. And the phone lines are open. You can raise your hand to be on the air. Just raise your hand if you want to be on the air. Push one, and it will raise your hand. I want to talk to you. I hope you want to talk to me. Erica's here with me. Pastor Larry's still here on standby listening. Pastor Anthony. But we want to talk to some of the women out there. Call in with your questions. Call in with your prayer requests. Those in the chat room. The chat room is full. Don't be shy. Don't be scared. Call in and be on the air, 646-652-4832. I want to talk to you. Amen. I want to hear your voice. This is a time for your voice to be heard. Call me and let me know what God is doing in your life, what he's doing in your ministry. Amen. What are you excited about? What are you believing God for? What are you anticipating? What are some of the challenges that you are having in your life? Amen. Why don't you just call in? I don't want to start putting people on the air. I want you to just raise your hand. Just push one, and we'll put you on the air. Amen. Amen, and praise God. Well, Erica, I tell you, I'm just so blessed to be able to come here every single week. You know, I look forward to coming because I know that something that's going to be said on this broadcast, on this show, on the Woman to Woman show, is going to help somebody, you know. And one thing I thought about this woman that we didn't talk about is, did she have a relationship with God? Did she know Jesus? You know, and I would like to venture that she didn't, you know. So that gives me even a more of a greater sense of urgency to go forth and do the Great Commission, to go forth and evangelize. How can we, Erica, how can we be more, make more of an impact? You know, what are we doing? You know, this morning the Jehovah's Witnesses were knocking on my door, 9:30 this morning. What are we doing wrong, or what are we doing right in the kingdom of God that we're reaching more? How can we reach more sisters? How can we reach more women who are feeling like this sister? You know, what can we do? I mean, what can we do?
Pastor Rebecca, sometimes we don't do enough. And I think sometimes that we sit and we keep our mouths closed to where we don't really, like even being on this show, when I first started listening to you and you said that you were going to put me on the air, I really didn't want to be on the air because I was shy. I didn't know if I was going to speak right. I didn't know what I was going to do, if I was going to mess up. And I'm just a background person. I will do everything that you need me to do. Just don't ask me to say nothing. That was me. And that's who I am. But we never know whose life we can change or affect in opening up our mouths from the things that God has blessed us to make it through and to come through. And sometimes the enemy makes us feel ashamed of what has happened and taken place in our life. And it's a blessing to be able to share your life with someone else, because you don't know who you can help just by telling someone else how God brought you through something. Somebody may be going through something, the same thing that you have been through already. You can share with them how to come out of it. And so we can't be scared to share our testimony with people because we don't know who we can deliver with that testimony. And one of the reasons why I share my life and why I don't hide the things that has happened in my life, because the enemy used to make me feel guilty about everything that has happened in my life and everything that I've been in. He's tried to make me feel bad and guilty about it to where I hide it, because he made me feel like, well, when you tell that, people are going to point their fingers at you. Now, that may be the case, but if you are at the point where you're pointing out my faults, then I have to continue to pray for you. But God is delivering me. God has healed me from those things. God has brought me through those things. And so I'm not going to be ashamed from where God has brought me from, because it's not for me. It's to be able to help someone else come from where they are. And so even with this broadcast, this is a platform for God to show himself, for God to glorify himself and how good he is and how good he has been to us. And you never know, when you call in, don't feel bad, don't feel ashamed of where you've been, but you may be opening your mouth because somebody else may need help, and you just may be the help to that person. Your story just may be what a person needs to hear to bring them through whatever it is that they're going through. And so we can't be ashamed of our lives. Bless God that you have came out of what you were in. And even some of us who still dealing with some things, God, if God is taking you through a process of delivering you, then you still have a testimony because he's bringing you through it. And sometimes even in your talking about it, God is delivering you through that thing. And I thank God for my pastors. I bless God for my pastors every single day.
Amen.
Because my pastors came into my life at a very important time in my life when I was going through everything that I was going through. And when I met my pastors, I was 19 years old, and my life was so jacked up, I didn't know my left from my right. And I was involved in so many things because being around the wrong people, being not having my own direction, but being a follower of everybody else, you know, letting people introduce me to so many different things. And I knew I needed help.
Amen.
I knew I needed help.
Erica, stay right there. Amen. She's going to finish her testimony. We see your hand raised. Area code 908. Stay with us. We see your hand raised. I'm going to put you on the air in a minute. Go ahead, Erica. You were just thanking God for your pastors, and you were giving that testimony about how you needed help.
Yes. At that point in my life, I didn't have anybody that I could talk to. I didn't have anybody that I could go to or cry out for help. But I went to Pastor Sarton and Lady Carol's church one day, and I sat in, and I was introduced to him by my uncle. I loved the service. It was an awesome service, and I enjoyed everything. But when I left, I still needed help. I had a lot of things on the inside of me that I needed to get out. And he was willing to sit down and listen to everything that I needed to say, and then begin to give me direction. And him and his wife took me in like I was their own. Because at that time, my mom wasn't around. My mom was out in the street, and she was on drugs. I hadn't seen my daddy since I was 10 years old. My family, we wasn't as close. I had people who would talk about me and call me names and everything but my name. And so I always had people talk down to me and tell me I wasn't going to be anything, that I was never going to amount to anything. All I was a hole and all of these things. And just like he was talking about earlier, if we look at ourselves how other people look at us, we do begin to take on that, what people think about us. We have to get to a place where we do value who we are, and that's how you get to a place of depression, because you are so concerned about what everybody else has to say about you that you don't really look at how you feel about you. And a lot of times the hurt and the pain that we go through is deep-rooted. From things that you've been through your family, from things that you've been through with friends, from things people have hurt you and people have mistreated you, or whether somebody molested you, or whether somebody touched you inappropriately, or whatever. Some of these things we don't come forth and talk about. And a lot of families have a lot of hidden secrets and things that we can't go to people about, because if you try to talk, like I've had some of the things in my life that I wasn't able to go to my family about because I know that they were going to tell me to my face that I was lying.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
but how was that story?
Yes, hold that thought, Erica, because you're hitting on something. I want to explore that further, but I want to get some of these other callers on the line. Hold that thought, girl. I just appreciate you calling in because you're right that we don't sometimes have somebody to go to. But I want you to share that testimony about how your pastors was there, because I think it's important for people to know that the church is a place that you can go. But hold that thought. I'm going to put you back on the air as soon as I take these two callers that have their hands up, okay?
Okay.
Amen. Thank God for Erica Anderson. Area code 908, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Simmons. How are you
praise
doing?
The Lord, Billy.
I've been listening, and I thank the Lord. I tuned in a little bit late, but thank the Lord I was able to hear much of what was being said. Of course, about the young lady, and when I heard it, I was saddened, and it just said, oh, my God, you know, what she must have been going through to get to that point. And then when I heard her son said, she said, oh, my God, I made a mistake. But by that time, there was no turning back. And there was no one be able to save them from the water. But I thank the Lord that the Lord did deliver the young man. And, of course, he is going to have lots of things to deal with over the period of his life. And I heard his honor. Someone said, he said, oh, if only I had taught my brother and brothers how to swim. You know, so already there's some feeling of blame there. But we're going to pray for him, of course, that God will help him, God would take him through, and then someday what we now see is such a tragedy, God will turn it and use it for his good. He already is in this conversation that you're having this morning on your show. And the other thing is that I was pleased to hear a pastor's prayer for young married couples, married people, period. And to tell that young lady happy anniversary, because I'm believing the prayer has already been answered. So she to have a joyous anniversary with her husband, because she is married and she is in the Lord. And we're going to celebrate her and her marriage. And I thank the Lord for that. And you asked the question of what we were doing or not doing in order to get the word out. And one of the things I think I said to you a few weeks ago, I'm thankful for you and for Sister Lisa Williams, that was her name, Lisa, Prophetess Lisa, and different ones that I've heard on your show, because there's a new breed of women for coming out and taking a stand for the Lord. And this I'm including you. And first, actually, your book started me on this journey, and I thank the Lord for that. And not only that, you were bold enough when you came and you ministered to some of the women at my church to tell them of the things that you had experienced in your past. And, of course, people are going to point their fingers at you, and they're going to say, oh. And I think that has become a problem within our saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, women who have been called of God, not feeling the boldness enough to stand up and say, you know, the Lord delivered me from this, and the Lord delivered me, because you're overcoming by your testimony. But not only that, your testimony helped other people to overcome. And I thank the Lord that you and your ministry and your husband's ministry and the young woman I just heard and the different ones are coming forth. And you're telling young women and telling people, period, that, listen, there's nothing that you've ever done that's so bad that God can't deliver you, that God can't save you, God can't reach you. All you have to do is just believe. And if you can believe just for a moment, God can get you through. But you got to just believe it. And then sometimes the only way they're going to hear this or they're going to know this is because someone is saying, listen, I was an addict. I was a sexaholic. I was a prostitute. I was one of those adulterers. I was one of those things, and God delivered me. So, and then that person can say, you know something, maybe I'm not so bad. Maybe God can help me. If he helped Pastor Rebecca and she's a pastor now, and he helped Prophetess Lisa and she's a prophetess now, and he helped this sister now and she's a first lady of a church, if he did all those things for those people and look at them, look at their life now, God can do something for me. I'm not so, I'm what I've done is wrong, but he can help me. And that's what I think is, when I hear your ministry, it's something right is being done. Now, you say, what can we do? And we does not necessarily include you, because I'm sure you probably get some punched and beat up, and I'm sure people say, oh, how can she tell her business like that? Well, you know what?
Right.
You're doing what the Lord said to do. That's your testimony. That's your testimony.
Yeah.
And you can only teach. You know, you can teach. We can teach math and all those things that we've learned, but the things that we have experienced and we have a passion about, we can get over to someone. You know, I've been through this and I've been through that, and I want you to understand that it's not, you're not so. Oh, hallelujah! You can do it, and I thank the Lord for that. And the other thing, and I don't want to take up all your time, but I just want to tell you, say other thing. The thing that I really am thankful for, because even now when I go and I met another young lady, you know, in different ones, you know, and I'm beginning to, because I was one of those women, you know, sitting back there, going to church every Sunday, participating in this auxiliary, doing this, doing that, and say, you know, I'm really working for the Lord. But listen, all that stuff, if a soul isn't being touched, if a soul isn't being helped, if a soul isn't being delivered, it's not worth a hill of beans. It's not worth anything. Because we're here. God has put us here first and foremost to love and serve him. And the only way he can do that is by serving mankind or womankind, by telling them about the good news. Telling them. And I thank the Lord. So I thank the Lord for your ministry. I thank the Lord for the young woman that just finished talking. I thank the Lord for the young woman who was bold enough to say, I need you to pray for my marriage.
Amen.
I thank the Lord for that.
Yes, and I'm just seeing her testimony in the chat room and not even knowing that God had brought her such a long way, that he kept her from being murdered, and, you know, how she was out there doing some things that, you know, she's not proud of. And the thing about it is we have to realize that we all have a story to tell. We all have a journey. And we've been somewhere that we're not proud of. I mean, so how dare we, like you said, Mother Bailey, get up in the church and act like we have never sinned. Act like we've always been in those pews, and we've always had our pretty hats and our pretty dresses and had it all together. And even that, not even that, but we go home and we still don't have it together. We're cursing our kids and our husbands. And, you know, we're acting like, you know, foolish women.
Yeah.
And God is saying, no. No, we have to stop playing at being the church. We have to stop playing church and be the church. We have to be the church.
Yes.
We have to die to our flesh, die to ourselves. We really do have to stop the sin. You know, there are so many people that they are saved and they come to the altar and they get saved and they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but they're still in the bars and they're still in the bed of adultery and they're still dancing around the pole and they're still getting high and they don't have any self-esteem and they don't think anything of themselves. They don't have any work. And it's like we can't play church. You know, those of us who are preaching the gospel, those of us who have the unction to share our testimony, we have to say, look, life for you was like that before you got saved. But now that you are saved, don't you know you don't have to live like that anymore? You don't have to live from bed to bed and man to man, broken, busted, and disgusted, looking for love in all the wrong places, ashamed of your past, feeling guilty because somebody touched you. You don't even have anything to be guilty about. They touched you. It was not your fault. You know, it wasn't your fault if you were molested, if you were raped. And my God,
I was reading, caller, I see your hand. I'm going to take a pause for the calls because I can go on and on. I see your hand, caller. This caller's been waiting. Amen. I'm going to put this call on the air, but we don't have to live broken, busted, disgusted. Jesus came. The Bible says that Jesus came so that we would have life and have life more abundantly. You know, we have to realize that Jesus said it. He said, I came so that you would have life. The thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Yes.
But he said, I came. Our Savior said, I came so that you might have life and have it to the fullest, have life more abundantly. You know, so we have to live that life. Come on, we owe it to Jesus Christ.
Yes,
even
we
the week from Resurrection Sunday, we owe it to Jesus.
Yes.
To live abundant life. Come on, somebody. Look, I want to take this caller, and Mother Belly, stay with me, because I know the Lord may have you say something. Pastor Larry, you're still on the air. Erica, you're still on the air. The phone lines are still open, 646-652-4832. It gets heated. The last 35 minutes, I only get 2 hours, but the last 35 minutes are always very interesting. That last hour, area code 111, your hand is raised. You're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Eat shit and die. I've
God
got balls
you.
Of steel. You're
okay. I think they said what I thought they just said. Then I just muted that person. Did anybody hear what I heard?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
Okay. So we don't have time, you know. I mean, if you call and you got a serious question, or you're curious about, you may be another believer and you're curious about things of God, that's fine. But do not call here disrespecting us or disrespecting the platform.
Amen.
Because we're not going to put up with that. You know, we pray for you that your eyes would be opened and that you would be enlightened, you know, but I can't have you calling here with that nonsense. I was hoping he wasn't saying what I thought he was saying, but that's somebody playing around. Nick on, they hung up. We're talking, you know, another thing that I was thinking about is that people are dying out there.
Yeah.
You know, when Mother Bailey, Erica, Pastor Larry, when I took the call, before I took the call, the priest, when I got the call, you know, the Lord apprehended me and he spoke to me in my spiritual ears and said, I want you to preach the gospel. And I was like, preach me? Are you serious? You know, I mean, I didn't even know scripture. You know, I my memory was bad because of all of the marijuana I smoked, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, how in the world am I going to remember scripture? I can't preach the Bible. I can't preach the gospel. You know, and I ran. You know, people talk about running from God and running from the call. And I ran from the call because I didn't think I could do it, Erica. I didn't think I could preach. You know, I didn't want to preach. You know, preaching wasn't cute. I saw preachers, they had to sweat. They were sweating. They were, you know, spinning, it was pooping. You know, I was like, my hair was going to be sweated out. I was a diva. I didn't want to preach. You know, my image was at stake. You know, but God, in his infinite wisdom, called me to preach and said, you know what? One thing he showed me was that lives were being lost, that people were out there dying, and that there was a group of people that only I was going to be able to reach for this season.
Yes.
You know,
wow.
I mean, he could use somebody else at another season, but he was telling me that there's a group of women, and he's proven that to me by taking me to Chicago, where I met Erica and Pastor Larry, and taking me to New Orleans, and taking me to Orange, New Jersey, up at Mother Bailey's church. God has proven to me over and over again that there's a group of women that need to hear my testimony.
Yeah.
And I was telling Dave Neal in the chat room, you don't need a title to preach this gospel.
No, you don't.
You know, you might need a title to get in the pulpit. You know, certain people might not let you in the pulpit. But what happens to preaching on internet? Radio, blog talk radio. What happened to preaching to your friend on the phone? What happened to preaching on the street corner? Mother Bailey gives her testimony about preaching to the young boys that nobody would pay any mind to. People are scared of them, and they're on the street corner, and she preaches to them. Listen, women of God, I want to challenge you. Preach this gospel.
Yes.
Go and tell somebody your testimony. Tell somebody about Jesus. Proclaim to people that you were full of demons and you were hurting yourself like the man over there in Genesaret.
Yes.
And he was cutting himself, and he was living in the grave. He was the living dead. He was the living dead, you know, and nobody could contain him. Nobody could help him. And they tied him up with chains, and he broke the chains. He ran around naked. How many times have we run around naked, taking our clothes off? And we shouldn't have been taking our clothes off. And ran around naked, full of demons, and Jesus came to him, and he fell down at the feet of Jesus and worshiped Jesus. And the demons talked to Jesus and said, "Don't cast me out." And Jesus cast out the demons into the sea. Amen. Put them in the swine. Amen. And the devil's demons drowned. Come on, somebody. And the man wanted to go with Jesus when Jesus was getting ready to leave.
Yes,
and Jesus said, "No. No, you go back and you tell your family and you tell your friends what I've done for you." The man was clothed and in his right mind. Come on, somebody. And I cast out demons right now. Even that caller who called, I declare, you are loosed in the name of Jesus. I speak against that demon spirit that will want to make you come up into the house of God on Blog Talk Radio and try to upset things here. I cast out Satan from your life.
Yes, in the name of Jesus.
Right now. In the name of Jesus,
Jesus,
that Jesus died for your sins.
Yes.
He came to set the captive free. He came to set you free, sir. Amen. So be loose. Be loose from the bonds of captivity in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And that's what the women of God, we got to be not scared of Satan. Satan can't hurt us.
Amen.
The But we have to be bold and go forth and preach this gospel, telling people about what God has done for us.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Hallelujah. The phone lines are open. Dana, call in. You got a testimony. Call in and give your testimony.
Yeah. Thank
when
you,
I start,
Jesus.
When I got the call, the way that God started me in my ministry, let me tell you, was by... And I see a hand raised. Amen. But God called me by having me give my testimony. Amen.
Amen.
I see a hand raised. We're going to take this call. Amen. Area code 754.
God,
you're on
God
the
bless
air.
You.
Welcome to Women to Women.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca. This is Pastor Stephen Amaker. Just to let you know, you must be doing something right, because if the devil didn't fight it, then he wasn't upset.
Thank you.
We're not doing anything, but we're destroying the kingdom. It gets the power in the kingdom of the enemy.
Yes.
And we, you know, we always get those kind of people. But
Jesus.
Just to let you know that you're doing the will of the God, of the Lord, the work of the Lord. Continue to be faithful as we do. I was just thinking about what you were saying about what we must preach and how we must preach. Preach it. We must preach it. We've been experiencing quite a few things in the last couple of weeks, and it lets me know that the truth must be preached. I was praying, and I'm going to be done very shortly. I was praying for a young lady the other night, and she told me she was saved. I said, "You saved?" She said, "Yeah, I'm saved. I'm like, "Okay." She said, "But," I said, "would you have sin in your life?" "Yeah, but I'm saved, and if I die right this moment, I know where I'm going," and she points out. And I'm like, how are you going to heaven where there's no sin, with sin in your life? And the problem is that the church is preaching you can be saved in sin, saved from sin.
Mm-hmm.
And you got people decreeing and declaring, "I'm saved, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost," and they're shacking up, they're doing drugs, smoking cigarettes, partying, like you were saying, you're going to the club, in and out the club, and you're doing everything, and so then the world looks at you like, "Well, why do I need to come over there? You're allowing me to do the same thing I'm doing now, so why do I need to come now and go to church? Why can't I just spend that time doing sin?" And this is the problem that we, the men and women of God, we must advocate I tell people down, I tell people here, I said holiness is not an option. Holiness is not an option. Oh, well, I live holy when I feel like it, and I don't feel like it. And then quickly, I just want to say, and I'm going to leave you alone, when you were talking about the relationship, for all of those that are in relationships, men and women, stop going to bed so fast.
Come on.
That's
good.
Stop going to bed. You meet the person, and the same day or two nights later, you in the bed. So I was just watching a clip on TV just now, and the man was like, well, we living together. She's pregnant, so why do we need to get married? And this is what's going on in our society. You're doing everything, and then like I told you some time ago, I asked a young man, I said, this is your friend, yeah. Y'all sleeping together, yeah. What's our favorite color? You don't even know the person's favorite color. You don't know nothing about that person but the bed. And we got to stop. All right, God bless. Thank you for this space.
My God, thank you so much, Pastor Amica, and I totally agree with you. Holiness is the only option. We got to stop straddling the fence. And that's what he's saying. We have to, women of God especially, because this is woman to woman and men too, but we have to stop straddling the fence. We have to stop playing with God. I was sitting in church one day, and God told me, I was in a huge church, thousands of people, and I was sitting there, and God told me, and this is when I began to get the call for prophet, he told me to tell my people to stop pimping me. And I was like, oh, my God. And then he told me, tell them to stop prostituting me. You know, God, give me my stuff. You know, give me my stuff. You know, stop pimping me and stop running around with other lovers, you know, other God, worshiping other gods. And we have to get to the point where we, listen, I got to say this. I do have to say this because I believe this that with all of my heart, and I believe that this is the only way that we're going to have victory in Jesus is when we get to the point where we are serious about God and when we are totally sold out for Jesus. We have to get to the point where we are sold out for Jesus, where sin does not appeal to us. See, what we have to remember is, and I see your hand caller, Erica 414, I'm going to put you on the air. But we have to get to the point where we do the word, where we know the word, and not only know the word, but we do the word, that we live the word. He said, abide. Abide means live in me, where we can live in him and let him live in us. Then we can have total victory. Listen, this is, you know, it can be a cakewalk, but we make it difficult when we choose to sin anyhow. Mm-hmm. Because sin is Satan's devices. Again, sin is what Satan uses to keep us out of the will and the grace of God. Sin is what Satan uses to keep us from living that prosperous life. And when we get that, when we say, wait a minute, if I don't get no justice, Satan doesn't get no peace. You know, because right now it's like, if I don't get no justice, I don't get no peace, because we're living according to the devil's rules. Mm-hmm. But when we decide to live according to what God has said, then we can say, you know what, if I don't get no justice, Satan don't get no peace, because I'm going to live for Christ. For Christ I live, and for Christ I die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's saved. Now that's saved. That's saved. Amen. We're going to take another call. Thank you so much, Pastor Amica. I really appreciate you calling in and adding to the broadcast on today. Area code 414, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Hi, Mother. This is Dana.
God bless you, daughter. Welcome. Thank you so much for calling in today. I was looking at your testimony. I said, you know what? She needs to call in. So I'm glad you called.
I'm glad I was able to. Usually on Saturdays, I can never get on the program, but God made a way so that my Saturdays are free now, so I'm glad to be here. I briefly will share, my testimony seems to be ongoing, and I think we all know that that's our lives. But when I look now, today, when I look at what I went through in life, I see why God kept me because of the people that he keeps putting in my life. He strategically placed leaders such as Pastor Anthony and Pastor Rebecca to be in my life, even where they live, in order to help me transition. Now,
yes.
I know that was years ago. He had to do that with people that were so far away because he knew the leaders I had a different focus. So when I looked at the people that he again, strategically placed in my life, I look at why. I had to be able to see God even in the problems I was having. As a child, and not even as a child, I think I might have been 20 or so years old when I realized what it was exactly the second time. God, there were things I used to see. You know, the world called it deja vu. I've learned lately that that's not what it is. But throughout my life, there were things I would always see, and then later on, they would happen. Well,
yeah.
One thing in particular threw me off because I felt like, Lord, if this is something that's going to happen, I can't allow that to happen. I didn't even know the Lord deeply then. I think I was 22 years old. My daughter was still a baby, and he showed me that I was at a payphone, standing at a payphone with her in a stroller, and that someone comes up to me and shoots me. And I'm dead. And I said, no, that can't happen. That cannot happen. Now, I knew it was not a bad dream. I knew it wasn't a nightmare because these type of dreams that I know are, just for lack of a better term, deja vu. There's no conversation. There's just action. And at that time, I just prayed. I just asked. I didn't know what to say, how to say it. I just said, Lord, don't let me die. Whatever that is, don't let me die.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think about it until it was years later, and I had my second child, and I think he might have been 5 years old, and I had driven past there, and it came back to me, and I thought, wow, God kept me. And
yeah.
I remember that I started to look at things over and over, all the different things that happened to me. When, you know, I used to be a pole dancer, and basically as a stripper, and I thought, you know, you don't want to tell people that, but then I look at the people that he's bringing to me now, someone who's going through domestic violence, somebody who is stripper right now, somebody who, you know, has been shot at. You know, okay, wait. If he was able to show me and bring me out, he's bringing me to you to know that you still have a chance. There's a reason why you're still alive. There's a reason why. And it's so encouraging to hear the men of God say, as well as the mothers say, that the women need to come up, that they need to do what they're told to do, because there's a lot of us that aren't saying anything that God said for us to do something, and we're not even telling anyone that.
No.
I don't know if it's fear, even though God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, or it's just doubt. But to me, those are one and the same.
Yeah.
I have to say that spiritually, I felt like I was in fear. I felt like I was, really. And you know, I think about, okay, well, I'm not anyone to carry the title, you know. But I know that I share the word with everyone. And it's like you said, Pastor Rebecca, what happened to sharing the gospel on the internet? What happened to talking to your fans face-to-face? I do that. I do that still. So then, okay, you're right. I don't need a title to do what God has told me to do. You know, Peter didn't need a title. Moses didn't need a title.
Yes.
You know, all of them didn't.
Okay. Yes. Amen. And I just thank God for you and calling in with your testimony because, look, it takes guts to say God delivered me from being a stripper.
Yes, it
you
does.
You know, I could be a pole dancer. I used to be a stripper. You know what I mean? And in this day and time thing, especially, I don't know if they do it where you live, but in New Jersey, they have these pole dance parties, and they're teaching our young girls, these young ladies, they get together in groups, and they learn how to do pole dancing.
Right.
And then they go to the cookout. You know, these are not saved people. These are not women who are saved, but they go to the cookout, and they're doing these dances at the discos, and they're doing these dances that they learned at these pole dance parties. And they're doing them at the cookout. And I literally saw a video one day of this girl giving somebody a lap dance at a cookout.
And I said to myself, I said, does this woman, does this young lady not know that women get paid to do what she's doing for free? Mm-hmm. You know, that was my first thought. I mean, shoot me. But that was my first thought. No, don't shoot me. But that was my first thought. And I was like, oh, my God, we need some reformed strippers. We need some strippers, people who have been delivered from that lifestyle, from the lifestyle of pole dancing. And like I said, I know people who have been delivered from prostitution, people who have been delivered from just whoredom, you know, people with just looseness, you know. But somebody who's been delivered from pole dance to go out and talk to these women and say that that's not God's plan. It's not cute. It's not ladylike. It's not, you know, conducive to the life that God has for them. And they are degrading themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, I know my walk. I know what God has me saying. But, yeah, there is a need for your ministry, daughter, for you to be bold enough to say. And that's why we run, because a lot of the times we're scared that our stuff is going to come out. and we're holding on to that last thread of the mask. Just let me hide. I don't want them to know I used to do that. You know, Mother Bailey talked about how I boldly stood up and said, you know, I used to be a whore. I used to sleep with different men. I used to do drugs, you know. I've been molested, you know. But you know how hard that is?
Yeah.
I mean, it's getting easier. But sometimes when it's a new group of people and I'm in a new place and I'm trying to preach a cute little sermon, hermeneutically correct, and I just want to get my do's and don'ts together and preach that sermon. But God is saying, no, girl, you get ready to give your testimony. And I'm like, oh, Lord. But I go ahead and let him make me give, let me do it. I give that testimony because I know the only reason that the Lord is telling me to give that testimony is because somebody out there needs to hear it.
Yeah.
And that's why you had to call in today, Dana, because there's somebody out there that needs to hear your testimony.
Well, I'm glad to share, and I'm more than willing to always share, because you're right. Somebody needs to hear it. There's different areas of my life that, you know, if it wasn't the pole dancing, it was the domestic violence. And I know we've talked before, Pastor Rebecca, where it wasn't the fact that I was the victim, but the victimizer. So, you know, when you put the shoe on the other foot, there's somebody out there that is where I was. So you're so right. I praise God for you. I praise God for the program that is still going and that I was able to call in today.
Yeah. Dana, where are you calling from?
Wisconsin. Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
What state are you in right now? Wisconsin?
Wisconsin.
Yeah. Amen. Praise God.
Praise God.
Start of Women to Women and since the start of Rise. And I've seen such growth in you, Dana. The Lord is using you mightily for his glory. And I want you, Dana, right now, just to take a few minutes to encourage somebody out there in their walk.
If I could say anything, I would say what people have always tried to teach me, and that is to continuously praise the Lord. Even if you don't know the Lord, just say thank you. And if that's your prayer all day, say that, because God has never left any of his children, never left us, let me just use the worldly word, high and dry. He will never treat us like man will treat us. We have to know that God is everywhere, and he's always there. And because of that, he can hear your cries, but he can also hear your praise. No matter what you're going through out there, no matter where you are, men or women, no matter where you are, God continuously holds on to you. Because why? He wakes you up every morning and he puts you to sleep every evening. It is not by your own will, your own way, your own strength that you get up in the morning or that you go to bed at night.
Wow.
We have to know that regardless of whatever we're going through, that God is giving us a chance to renew our relationship or to start a relationship with him. Why is that? Because he has a plan for us. It is not because my time is up or my time is not up. It is because God said, I still need you, my son. I still need you, my daughter. So I'm holding on to you, and whether you see me or not, I see you. And that is why you're going through everything you're going through while the devil is attacking you, while you are, your children are acting like they're going straight off the wall, while your spouse is acting like they're not even there, because the enemy is getting at the things that you love and you mean the most. You might have lost your job. You might have lost your business. You might be riding the bus. But understand that if you woke up this morning, God is still working that plan out for you. The enemy sees your future. He sees mine. He sees your future. You have to keep fighting for your future. And if the only way you know how to do that is to say, thank you, Lord, then say, thank you, Lord, for today. Even though tomorrow may not be promised, I appreciate you, Lord, for right now. Even though you might take me out in the next minute, thank you, God, for the people that are in my life. Thank you for my spouse. Thank you for my children. Thank you for everything, large and small, good and bad. That's what I would say to you right now. Just thank God, because you don't know, somebody may pull up in front of your house and drop off a car with keys. Somebody may pull up in front of your house and give your children what they need. Somebody may pull up in front of your house, call you on the phone and say, I want to bless you and your husband, send you on a expense paid vacation. You and your wife, you by yourself, you and the girlfriend, because you need a breakaway. You never know what God's plans are. Man, continually praise him for whatever it is, good and bad, because he, my man, has always got your back.
Jesus, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I thank God for your obedience, Dana. Just stay with me. That's a word, and I felt God in that. I tell you, I'm getting chills. We have another call. We have another hand raised. Just stay with me, everybody that's on the line. Area code 973, you've been with us throughout the broadcast. Your hands is raised. You're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Hi, Pastor Rebecca. This is Tina. How are you?
God bless you, Tina. I am well. So good to hear you on the show today.
Yes, yes. I've been listening, and it's been truly an awesome show. I was listening to the women, and you speak about the saints coming outside the church and ministering to others, and that is so true. And I that is something I want to do as God continues to mold and build me in the woman that he wants me to become. That is my mission. That is something that I want to do. I want to take it from outside the church, because there's so many people that who don't hear the message, so many women that don't hear the powerful message that you're delivering. It's great for saints to congregate and come together here, but there's so many people out there that's lost. We have a lot of women out there that has the cry of a woman's heart, starting in our own family, that we don't bring. So I was just thankful just hearing this message today, because it leads me to believe that what I want to do and what God I know is going to do is going to happen. This message to bring other people in to hear, so people can be healed and they can start healing their family. This is like real, real passionate for me. So I was glad that we were talking about it today, and you also were talking about the woman who unfortunately killed her children. And I read the article as well, and I'm praying for her son, because there was something going on way before that happened, something that someone didn't detect or someone overlooked or someone didn't do, but there was something going on. When you read about it, it was like domestic violence that was happening in her family with her and that mate. So praise God, it's a need out there for women such as Pastor Rebecca, other women ministers that's stepping up and having a voice here in New Jersey as they travel around the world. And that's all I wanted to say, because it's in my heart, so I press the one button to come on. But I thank y'all today. God have a blessed day.
Praise God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Tina. Tina is here in New Jersey with me. I see her often. She is truly a blessing. We're getting ready to do the play, Nobody's Business, and I have a whole group of women here who are just really excited about that work going forth. So I'll be off for the summer, as my job is closing May the 1st, so I'll be writing the play. And, you know, so stay tuned, because Nobody's Business to Play is definitely going to hit the big stage. I am so proud of all of you. I mean, the men have come out, and the men have shared. I thank God for every man, for Pastor Larry, Pastor Amica, Pastor Anthony, for every man that called in. And I just want to say to every woman, I am just so godly proud of what I see in your lives, of all of you women stepping up to the forefront through everything that you've been through, Mother Bailey, everything that you've shared with me that you've been through, Tina, Erica, my God, Gazelle, who's in the chat room, Dana Neal, my God. I mean, your testimonies, your lives are a testament to the greatness of God's power. You know, that he can't fail. But no matter what, anybody who's listening, no matter what you're going through, these women and these men who called in on today, they have come to stand up and boldly declare that God is able.
Yeah.
He is able. My God, yeah. He is able. Our God can't fail.
Yeah.
He will not fail you. So my heart is blessed, you know, from this broadcast on today. And I just pray, I'm going to get some postcards printed up for Woman to Woman, the show. And I just will mail them to all of your states. I'm going to send all of you postcards. One way that you can help is to spread the word about this ministry and to have women from everywhere call in and listen and be a part and let their voices be heard on Woman to Woman. So I just thank God for all of you. We have 5 minutes. Does anybody have anything burning in the last 5 minutes? Your phone lines are open, so if you have anything burning to say, just try to take a minute so that anybody else that has something to say can say it.
Bless God, Pastor Rebecca. I thank God again for you and for this show, for allowing me the opportunity to tell my testimony. And I say to every woman out there who's going through, doesn't see any way out, or hopelessness, that God is the answer, and that God can change things in your life. And if you just take time, sit down, ask him to help you, look at yourself, and learn to know who you are and how valuable you are. Do not let anyone take advantage of you or mistreat you, because you are precious and you are a child of God, and God loves you. God loves you. And don't let the enemy get you to the point where he makes you defeat yourself, because you are here for a purpose. You are here for a purpose, and you have purpose in your life. And when you don't see no way out, find somebody you can trust that you can open up and talk to. Somebody that can give you a word that can help, somebody that can mentor you, somebody that you can hang on to fall, so that you can get to a place where you can become strong enough to stand on your own. But don't let the enemy allow you to take yourself from here, because God has greater plans for you. And there is hope. I am a living there's hope. There is hope in God.
Yes.
So just trust him. Let him work it out.
And I would like to say, women of God, remember that there is someone who loved you so much that he was willing to die for you. But he didn't stay dead. He got up so that you would have hope and you would have access to the Father. That's how much God loves you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We have time for one more to jump in.
Glory, glory, God.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we got one more there. Did we have one more? Okay, let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you.
Lord.
We magnify your name. We thank you for this broadcast today, God.
Thank
we thank you for every man Jackson, Pastor Anthony, Pastor Larry, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the men holding up during this season. Thank you for every woman that's listening, oh God, every woman in the chat room, every guest, oh God, Gazelle, and everybody else who's gathered right now under the sound of my voice. Bless them right now, oh God. Thank you for Mother Rosa Bailey and Erica Anderson, for Dana Neal, for all of the women, Tina Lane, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for every woman, oh God, oh God. And
Hallelujah.
Bless every person, oh God, that is listening under the sound of my voice, that is listening to the archives. Help every victim of molestation, rape, abuse, battery. Help them to know, Lord, that it's not their fault that somebody raped them or touched them or beat them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Especially for those who are suffering from the loss of a loved one, oh God. Lord, let them know that it's not their fault that that person went home to be with the Lord, that that person passed away, that that person died, oh God. Help us to deal with the pain of the past. Help us to deal with grief and anger, bitterness and resentment, oh God. Help us, Lord, to have a healthier self-esteem, Lord. Help us to see ourselves,
Lord,
the way that you see us, oh God, in the name of Jesus.
In the name
Lord,
of Jesus.
Lord, come against hopelessness in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We come against discouragement and despair, oh God.
Hallelujah.
We find the protection off the lives of your women, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And we declare total victory in our marriages, in our ministries, oh God.
In
our money, oh God.
Thank
in the name of Jesus, in our businesses, on our jobs, oh God. Oh Lord, give us favor with the job interview, a favor with the mortgage company, oh God, favor with the landlord, oh God. In the name of Jesus, help us to preach this gospel with and without a title, oh God. Help us to stand flat footed and declare what thus says the Lord, oh God. Let us not let anyone or anything hinder us, oh God, from moving forward with the plan that you have revealed for us. Let us seek your face and have a relationship with you first and foremost, oh God. Seeking your face and seeking your will, seeking your way and reading your word, oh God. Praying and fasting and praying, oh God. So Lord, touch and heal everybody who's sick in body and in the name of Jesus, sick in their mind and discouraged. Touch the little boy who got out, God. We come against, Father God, destruction in his young life, oh God. And we even speak victory over this situation in his life.
Knowing
that you have a great plan for him,
Jesus.
Oh Lord. So touch him right now, God. Regulate his mind, God.
Oh
God, keep him from the hand of evil,
Lord.
Oh God. Overstand his territory,
oh
Lord.
Jesus.
In the name of
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Give him healing. Heal his young heart right now, God. Even as he mourns the loss of his mother and his siblings, oh God. Heal his young heart, God.
Yes,
in
Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank
you, Jesus.
Thank you,
and we praise you for what you've done here. Here on today in this ministry. Thank you for the ministries that are birthing out, God, during this broadcast, oh God.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You for each and every ministry, God. Touch Dan and Neil's husband, oh God. Oh God, touch, Lord. Continue to mend and heal that marriage, God. So Lord, we just thank you and praise you. Touch Mother Belly, God. Let your hand be upon her, God. Put your hand on her, Lord. Continue to heal her, God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you that by your stripes she is healed, oh God. In the name of
Jesus.
Lord, we thank you,
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh God.
Oh God.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Oh God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord.
Jesus,
we thank you, we praise you for what you've already done.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen and praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen and hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
My God, what a mighty God we serve. He's a mighty God.
Thank you,
Jesus. Ladies, you have blessed me today, gentlemen. You have blessed me. God bless you. Tell somebody about Woman to Woman. I believe the Lord is expanding this ministry. And tell somebody about Woman to Woman. And I will see you next week. I'll be we'll be right back here next Saturday at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, blogtalkradio.com/power, or you can call to listen at 646-652-4832. Until next week, stay rooted, stay grounded, and continue to fast and pray as I fast and pray for you. Amen. Go in peace.
Thank you,
Lord. I love you. I love you all.
God
love
bless.
You.
Love you.
Thank you, God.
Oh, God, thank you.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day. Thank you, Jesus.
But there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day. Where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised to tell me it's alright?
I'll be honest with you.
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over. Take that from you. I see you. Smile.